Amen. Thank you very much. When you, again, I have to keep bringing back to the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, we call them, or the Blessed Bees, they're often called. And you have to understand that if we can live and learn the first portion of the Sermon on the Mount, the rest of it will fall into place. I'm just going to be honest with you. All the things that the Lord deals with, and He goes through different things, how we deal with Him, how we deal with ourselves and what we ought to be, and then He gets into here, how we deal with our brothers. And you must understand that one of the most difficult things for a Christian to go through is dealing with each other. You can say amen to that. Because the vast majority of folks from one time or another will have conflicts. They just will. If we were in a place that there was no conflicts, we'd be in heaven. That's just, there's no two ways about it. We are going to have conflicts. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have times that we don't agree. You get two Baptist preachers together, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing preachers saying amen, blood-bought, hallelujah, amen. They're going to have disagreements. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why we're independent, fundamental, amen. Because we just can't seem to come to grips with everything together. And that's okay. You got to understand, that's okay. Not everything that we know people have to agree with. Now, I'm not going to tuck tail on the King James Bible. If you don't agree with me, that's your fault, but the King James Bible is the pure Word of God. I'm not going to tuck tail on that. I'm not going to tuck tail on the blood atonement. I'm not going to tuck tail on the local church. I'm not going to tuck tail on what baptism is and how you do it. I'm not going to tuck tail on any of those. Those are doctrinal issues. Understand that. But there are some things that we just get crazy over. And I think the Lord tries to help us here. He just went over how to live relatively stress-free. Because the vast majority of our stresses are dissatisfaction with ourselves. Let me say that again. The majority of our stress comes with being dissatisfied with who we are. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the house that we live in has nothing to do with who you are. There's a lot of people in big mansions that are dissatisfied with who they are and still stressful. If you would come to grips with who you are and be excited and understand that the King of Kings made you who you are. He doesn't want you to be someone else. He wants you to be you. Yes, there's been wonderful guidelines set down with how we should try to live our lives. We should try to conform to some of these things. And Jesus even said to be like-minded, to be in unity, to come into the captivity of the thinking of Christ. It takes away free thinking a little bit. But I'm okay with that. I hope that I have the mind of Christ sometimes. I hope that I have the mind of the Redeemer sometimes. So He's trying to teach us these things. He's trying to go over these things. Then He gets to this verse that says, judge not. Judge not, lest ye be judged. I'm going to skip ahead a few verses, and I'm going to... This is careful waters here. And the reason that it's careful waters, let me set this up a little bit. The reason that you must be very careful is because the people that are usually the ones that claim these verses are the ones that want desperate liberty. They want to do what they want to do. You must understand. The people that hold on to these verses are the people that, they don't care about your mixed women issues. They want to go mixed women. Okay? They don't care about your wearing miniskirt issues. They want to wear miniskirts. They don't care about these things because they want to do what they want to do. So they say, judge not. But that's not, now you're treading on holiness. Now you're treading on separation. Now you're treading on doing the things that you ought to do for Christ. I think you ought to do the things you ought to do for Christ. That does not pertain here. Not the same thing. However, how you handle yourself and how you handle other people is dealt with here. You are not called to call somebody out. You are called to help to teach. You should be apt to teach. You should be apt to help people. You don't help people by browbeating them into submission. You don't help people. I've always said this, and I, whether this is right or wrong, this is what I feel down deep in my heart. I believe this is true. Convictions ought not come from your pastor. He can preach them. He can talk, and he should, and he does, and I'm glad. But conviction should come from God. Convictions ought to be something between you and God. Why? Because not everybody's convictions are going to be the same. Let me tell you why they're not going to be the same. Because the devil uses the wiles that affect you to get you. And you may have a conviction that somebody else doesn't have because you need to have that conviction, because that's what sets you back. You may have an issue with music, so we preach on rock and roll music. So I don't have a conviction with rock and roll music. I don't have a problem with rock and roll music. I don't listen to it. I think it's terrible. But somebody else might have a problem with rock and roll music. Somebody else might have that issue, and they need to have that conviction in their life. And the Lord needs to put that on their heart because they're battling with it. You see what I'm saying? Everybody's different. When it talks about judge not lest ye be judged, the Lord is crying out here, in my opinion, to understand that everybody needs us. Everybody needs you. Everybody needs each other to help each other, not to cut each other apart. And the reason that he says that is this. If we look inside of our own lives, you see where I'm going? If we look inside of our own lives, we'll understand. If we were judging somebody, we ought to judge the person that we look at in the reflecting glass every morning. If we want to judge somebody, judge ourselves. Now let's look at what the scripture says about this, because I think that the Lord really lends a light on how and on why and on what to do here. Because I think that as a deacon of the church, you ought to be watching and perceptive of what's going on in our church. I think as the pastor of the church, you ought to be watching and perceptive. He's a good bishop. He watches his people. The Lord gives him messages that we need. And maybe they do step on our toes. Maybe they do say things. And I know Brother Dave's been getting real hard on Facebook. And oh my goodness, the letters are rolling in, okay? But it doesn't matter. I see the need. I'm trying to fill the need. And it doesn't matter what happens. I'm trying to help the people. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to help the people. Look what the Bible says. And you gotta see. I saw this for the first time last night, and I thought it was exceptional. I want you to look at this. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou hypocrite." Now, he's calling this person a hypocrite that's judging, that has this very same thing in his own life. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." You've seen this. I guarantee you've seen this a lot of times. You've seen this verse over and over again, realizing that the Lord's trying to tell you you've got a big fat beam in your eye and you're worried about the splinter in your brother's. There's a couple words I want you to see. There's a couple words I want you to understand. There's a couple words that really helped me as I looked over this. I realized something. Do you realize that we are all in this room right now? We are all sinners. Saved by grace. The Lord died for me just as much as he died for Brother Coolidge, just as much as he died for Brother Carl, just as much as he died for Tammy Limley, just as much as he died for Grandma. He literally died for all of us just the same. He didn't die more for Brother Mike Freimeyer. Didn't die more for him. He didn't die more for anybody else. He died the same. His death covered it all, paid it all. Glory to God. I want you to see. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. When you look at your brother, here's the question. When you look at your brother, when you look at the sin of another, when you look at the problems that another person is having, when you look at someone else, are you seeing clearly? I'm glad it's quiet. Because there are times in my life when I have called somebody out when I really wasn't seeing clearly. When there is something that was impeding my vision. When there was something that is stopping me from seeing exactly what was going on. When there was something that was troubling my focus. When there was something that was setting me maybe too fast to judgment or too harsh in my reaction. Can I ask you a question? When the Lord said to the men that were standing there, ready to condemn the woman, "If thou be sinless, let you cast the first stone." The Lord was saying to them, you are not seeing clearly. You have no ability because you're suffering from the same defect, because you're suffering from sin in your own life, because you're suffering from things that are happening to you, how are you going to tell me that you're seeing clearly? What's amazing is, with the blinders on, with our sunglasses on, with these wonderful beams that are in our own eyes, we jump to judgment because we believe that we are seeing clearly enough. Let me ask you a question. Brother Mike and I go out hunting. Well, we go out in the woods. If I see a bush moving, should I go ahead and shoot? Why? I'm not seeing clearly what I'm shooting at. How many lives have been ruined because we are shooting the bushes? How many lives have been claimed, Christian lives, brothers and sisters that are needed to serve Jesus Christ? How many of them have been claimed in hunting accidents? The Lord says, wait until you see what comes out from behind the bush before you pull the trigger. A good hunter won't even pull his gun up. A good hunter won't even think about taking the safety off of his weapon until he knows what he's shooting at. How many times have we gone off half-cocked into a relationship with a brother, quick to judge, careless, thinking that we are the judge? Do you realize that we're not called to judge? Not here. We get to judge the affairs of the angels up there, but that's not going to be judgment as we believe it is here. Can I help you? Know what you're shooting at. You better get to know what happened in that person's life to get them to where they are. You better know what's going on in that person's life because they reacted that way. Dr. Hiles had a wonderful, wonderful statement. Everybody's having a bad time, so be good to everybody. We live in a day and age where you never hear good news. I'm not kidding. You never hear good news. So how in the world can we go from day to day to day tearing up a brother? Yes, I know that we need to help people. But it's amazing what our style of help has become. It's amazing what our thought process is when we're judging other folks. I'm not saying to not live holy, and I'm not saying to not preach against sin. This is not Joel Osteen. This is not Benny Hinn here. You need to hear about sin. I don't care what you say. You need to hear about sin. You need to hear that alcohol is wrong. You need to hear that doing drugs is wrong. You need to hear that rock music is dirty. You need to hear about all those sinful things. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. But what you must understand is that there are lives in the balance. There are people in the balance. Let me explain something to you. How many souls could have been won? How many people could have been helped? How many church pews could have been filled if we just would have looked and learned what we were shooting before we pulled the trigger? Are we seeing clearly when we rush to judgment? Are we seeing clearly what the person is doing in their lives? Or do we see on the surface the bush is moving? Glory to God, it's got to be a turkey. No, I think the turkey is the one holding the gun. And what's amazing is the quickest people to rush to this judgment are the people that are suffering from that own sin themselves. Oh, you ought not have pornography. And they're at home with pornography on their computer. We ought not have alcohol, and their refrigerator's filled with it. I love the saying, and the people that want to drink alcohol run right to it. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. They run right to it. They skip over wine as a mocker, strong drink is raging. They skip over all those things, but they see that little verse, and that just bails them right out. You know, we have medicine for stomach now. Okay? If you would consider wine as a medicine cabinet, It's amazing. You'd be a pharmacist with how much wine you have in your medicine cabinet. I understand all those things are wrong. But I don't want to someday rush to judgment on Phil, not knowing what I'm really talking about. Here's an example. Yesterday we were out at the church property. He was cleaning up out there a little bit for us, and he was weed eating and things like that. And he brings back in his vehicle, he brings back a can that he had picked up of a beer can. It's amazing how often people throw beer cans out on the church property. It's awesome. I asked Brother Mike to stop, but he won't. He brings back this beer. Now listen, I know this is foolish. This is foolish. I understand it. But it does prove my point. So he brings this trash. It is trash up into the... I know that he didn't consume the can when he was with us. Okay? And you know that he didn't consume the can while he was with us. But how many times, just like this, you'll see the evidence in the hand, but you don't know that the evidence was consumed by the person that has the evidence. If I would have come, you dirty, rotten, alcoholic dog. You're coming out to work at the church property. You just drank a beer. I am not going to let I'm letting preacher know. He's going to counsel you, brother. Oh, you might say that's silly. But how many times have we done that to folks? How many times we see them and we think, oh, glory to God, they must be wrong. Why? Because you're right all the time? Take that big fat beam out of your eye before you start to work intricately with tweezers on pulling a splinter out of their eye. Well, you say the things that are in my life are small things. Yeah, it's amazing how the closer you get, the bigger things get. It's amazing to me. The Lord is trying to teach us. He's trying to show us something here. We don't want to live loose. Yes, we want to have liberty in Christ, but we don't want to just use that liberty to our advantage. I understand that we ought to live holy. I understand that. So you pharisaical minds out there that have beams all in your eyes, and you're talking, Brother David, you liberal Baptist preacher, next thing you know, we're going to be Southern Baptist Convention in here. Before you judge me, understand this. You've got beams in your eyes that need to be pulled out. And we need to give each other just a moment of a break, just a little bit of a thought of where we can love each other and care about each other, try to help each other through this life that we're living right now. Yeah. Glory to God. We're the only ones with the truth. We're the only ones with the ability inside of us to help other people. We are the ones that cannot wait to eat their own young. Especially older Christians. I preach all the time on how you need to remember what the Lord saved you out of. A lot of people, I'm going to forget my past. No. Do not forget your past. Let that be the springboard for you. Let that remind you of who you are. So when you go forward to help, listen, there's things that only you have gone through. Only you have gone through. But there's going to be a time when you meet somebody else that's going through that same thing, and you can help them with their life instead of judging them. Let's look at what these verses beforehand say now. Now that we realize that maybe we're not seeing as clearly as we thought we were seeing. Maybe now that we realize that, well, you know what, Brother Dave, you know what, when I judged that person, when I went into the back rooms and when I went into these little Sunday school classrooms and when I went in there and I closed the door and I talked with my friends and I went ahead and chicken housed all day long, and instead of going to church, I found myself down in the hallway beating up another Christian. And glory to God, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Christians beat each other up when your own lives are so filled with dirt and sin. Your own lives are so filled with muck and mire, you can't even look beside you. Glory to God, you're going around blind. And we're judging others, and we're not only not seeing clearly, we're not seeing at all. In the school life, I've noticed something. There's rule breaking, believe it or not. And it's funny how people can't wait to help me judge people. I've dealt with things. I've dealt with kids wearing the wrong shoes, kids wearing the wrong shirts. It's not hard to pick out colors, but kids still seem can't figure it out. And a parent will rush to me, "Well, Principal Ballard, you yelled at my children. You yelled at them, but you must understand that every time I come here, I see kids wearing the same thing that they were wearing. What do you say about that?" I would love to have a box full of X-Lax. Frown at me all you want. You'd need X-Lax too. Never dawning on the people that they come to judge me, never dawning on the people, maybe I've already dealt with them. Maybe I've already spoken with them. Maybe, just maybe, that child doesn't have parents that care. Maybe, just maybe, the parents just paid tuition and they don't have enough money to get their child. And I know, well, that's no excuse. What kind of a school are you running here? The one that God put me in charge of, Jack. And when God puts you in charge of one, then you can say what the rules are. That's amazing how we jump to judgment. We can't wait to crucify, but we don't know what the facts of the case are. It's amazing. That's why we have trials here in America. That's why we have trials. We don't just go around killing people. We don't just go around slaying people because we think that they may have done something. We've got to understand something. The Lord is not, I know these are extremes, but the Lord is not concerned with how you judge your brother. The Lord is concerned with how you present yourself to Him. Boy, you sure are mean this morning. I had a big fat cup of coffee. Look at these verses beforehand. "For with what judgment ye judge," this would scare me to death, by the way. "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be," it's not "ye might be," "ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." I don't believe this is talking specifically necessarily about the judgment. It's also talking about the motives you had for that judgment. The measure that you meet, that measure shall be measured to you again. You go in to deal with somebody maliciously, I would be scared to death that they'd deal right back with me the same. This is the golden rule. Treat each other as you'd have yourself to be treated. This is the golden rule. Yet we as Christians walketh around like a roaring lion seeking whom we may devour. I can't wait for the preacher to fall someday. I'm going to jump on him like a dead carcass, and we're going to eat him alive. I hope that one of those teachers falls. That's what makes news today. You ever think about something? You see a kid get in trouble. And when I was in the teen ministry, I watched lots of teens fall. It dawned on me. The only reason I never fell is because I never got caught. In your life, just because you catch somebody, be careful that you don't get caught yourself. We better be seeing clearly when we deal with each other. We better be seeing clearly. We better know the whole story. We better have a rap about exactly what is going on before we rush to tell other people about what judgment you're about to proclaim. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Lord knew the hearts of the people he was speaking to. This should frighten you. These verses should frighten you. in our makeup, in our sin, our flesh that is at enmity with God. Inside of that is something that we cannot wait to rush, to literally pour gas on, to burn quickly so we can go out and make sure the world is right. Yet inside of you, your world is so very wrong. Again, I'm not saying not to have holiness. I'm not saying, because that's foolishness to say, well, we'll just all live the way we are and everybody be tolerant of each other. We've taken that to such an extreme today. But I would to God that when Brother Brian is down, this is my reaction. Not this. You sinner. You rotten dog. Be careful. Sin's going to push back. Be careful. You're going to be judged. Be careful. Because that measure that you just meted out is going to be paid right back to you someday. It said it shall, not it might. It shall. We are quick people. Quick. Because it makes news among the church people. If I did this one day in the teen class, I started out a rumor. I called it the rumor day. And I had all the kids around, about 40 or so kids in the room and sitting in a circle. I started a rumor in the ear of one child here, and I had them pass the rumor all the way down until it got back to me, and I asked them, what was the rumor? It was not even close to what I had started. It's amazing that what you see, because you're not seeing clearly, the Lord is teaching us this. The Lord is teaching you that you're probably not seeing clearly when you go to judge somebody because you probably got sin in your own life that you can't get around yourself. You can't get around that, and if you can't get around that sin, how in the world are you going to judge somebody else's sin? What's amazing is we rush to judge somebody, and we go and tell the jury before we tell the accused. Oh, that's good preaching. I'll amen myself. Amen, brother. We rush to tell the jury when the accused doesn't even know what they're accused of. Well, I saw Brother Carl with a cigarette in his hand. Did you know that? Did you know I saw Brother Carl McDaniel? If I say that enough times in here, you'll believe that and go and ask him later. Or if I put it out on the internet, it's got to be true. Did you know that? 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 But I've never one time looked over here. I've never one time said, Brother Carl, I saw you had a cigarette in your hand. And he would say, Brother Dave, I just picked it up off the parking lot. I was going to throw it away. Well, glory to God, I just gave him judge and jury throughout all the... Oh, everybody knows now that Brother Carl's a smoker. Everybody knows now that he's an addict of tobacco. And now he can't release the habit. Time to get rid of him as a deacon. And all he did was picked up a cigarette on the parking lot to throw it out. You say in your mind, that's crazy. I say in your mind, you've done it before. Be careful that we see clearly before we rush to judgment. Because if you see clearly, you see you first. If you see clearly, you see you first, and then you realize that when you go to judge, if it's time to judge, and there are times when the preacher has to issue judgment, there are times when we have to judge, there are times when that happens, when we have to help somebody by letting them know what they're doing wrong, not letting everybody else know. Be man in here. Be a man today. Well, you're calling out manhood. You better believe I am. Too often we say, well, I need several people to go with me before. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you got something against somebody, go to them. But talk it out. Don't go in a black cloak with a gavel in your hand. Go to them and see if you can find out what happened. See clearly. Because I've got to be honest with you, there's been times, and I guarantee a preacher, anybody that's preached has spoken wrong things when they're preaching. You're human. And there's been times when I've said wrong things. I would to God, before we would rush to throw me out of the pulpit, that we'd say, Brother Dave, what were you thinking? And then I would tell you, I might not even know. Why judge me? Because you've never spoken wrong? You've never said wrong? Were you seeing clearly when you rushed to that judgment? Were you seeing clearly? Because it's difficult to see when you've got sin in your own life and you've never dealt with that. How can we see clearly? Look at these next verses. Look at what the Lord calls you. Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me perform surgery on your eye with a blindfold on? Let me tell you how to fix your life when mine's a shambles. Let me tell you how to clean your house when mine starred on Hoarders last week. Let me tell you how to clean your dishes when my sink is full of dirty ones. Let me tell you how to clean your car when I've got pop bottles from the 18th century sitting in there. Let me tell you how to do something when I don't even do it myself. Are we seeing clearly? We're not seeing clearly. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. This is where churches rise and fall. This is the word that is associated with churches. Hypocrite. A lot of people use the excuse of hypocrisy when they enter into a church. And I've got to be honest with you, 100% of us in here are. And that's what I tell folks, I just a bunch of hypocrites. That's right, and you are too, and you ought to come. Yes, we are. However, we can live right. After all this I said to you, we can live right. We can live the way that Christ wants us to live. We can have His mind. We can have clear vision. We can have clearness of thinking. The Lord, it's amazing to me, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord deals with you within. I'm telling you, 90% of the time to 99% of the time, He's dealing with you in here. He takes the elevator up a couple floors to hear quite a few times as well. Dealing with our mind. I had the opportunity to preach on your mind a little bit last week. And it's amazing how we let our mind is powerful. It's powerful with the imaginations that it can come up with. If you thought for 10 minutes, well, Brother Phil had a beer can in his hand. Was he drinking and driving? Was that his 10th or 11th? Did he come to the church property and work with machinery inebriated? It's amazing how quickly your mind can run with you. It's amazing how quickly your mind can rush with judgment. It's amazing how big and jiffy popped the judgment can grow to where the littlest thing becomes a death sentence. I'll say that again. To where the littlest sin becomes a death sentence in your darkened mind. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Whatever you measure out, it's going to be measured back. Realize that everybody is having a bad time. Realize that we need to know the story before we rush to do what we believe in our blinded eyes is right. Be careful, the Bible says, thou hypocrite. Be careful, thou hypocrite, because you cannot perform surgery on the sin of another when you have a cancerous tumor of sin inside yourself. Be very careful, Christian, that you don't take people out of pews that need to be here. Be very careful, Christian, how we deal with each other, because understand this, the Christian life is a very delicate life. Be very careful, Christian, when we rush to judgment, when people fill our chambers and sinners come one by one, sinners come one by one, sinners come one by one, and I'm all done with this, preacher. You need to hear this. Remember as you rush to judgment that the sin that the person is suffering from has been paid for. And you serve the Almighty Judge. And it's His job to judge. It's our job to help. That sin That sin that you want to cast out has been paid for.
Amen.
That's just not your job. We can help each other. We can love each other. When your child does something wrong in your house, I don't believe that you condemn them to die. You may spank them. I hope you do. But understand this, at the end of the day, you love your children. You adore your children. And although Luke makes my head spin from time to time, I love my son.
Amen.
I care about my son. And I always want him to know that he's got a dad that loves him. His sin has been paid for. Yes, I think there should be punishment. Yes, I think he needs to know not to do those things. Yes, I think Christians ought to know not to do those things. But when you go to Christians, when you go to each other, understand this, at the end of the day, you should love each other. Go first in love. Go first in forgiveness, not in hatred and anger, because you're going with blinders on. You're going blindfolded. And those people that walk out, a brother offended is harder to be won than a walled city. Judge not, because you're not seeing clearly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, in your sermon, if we would just heed your words, how wonderful would our life be? How wonderful would our life be if we went with the attitude of forgiveness and care instead of a gavel and a guillotine? Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to care about each other. The days that are coming for Bethel Baptist Church, I believe, are going to be trying ones. I believe there's going to be differing opinions. I believe that there's going to be things that happen that need to be talked about and need to be perhaps even judged. Lord, I pray that you do the judging. I pray that you work through us. Oh, Lord, help us today. Help us to look to you. And, Lord, please, I'm begging you, Lord, clear our vision. Let us see with the eyes of Christ. Let us think with the mind of Christ. And let us go forward in dealing with each other with the heart of Christ. Oh, God, we love you today. Lord, anoint my pastor this morning. Let him preach with your wisdom and your power. Lord, speak through him. And tonight, Lord, bring a lot of lost folks. Lord, let them hear about your gospel. Clear up the weather. But Lord, more than that, clear up our vision for tonight. Lord, help us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.